Lord's peace.
Peace be multiplied.
All right, all right. Everybody blessed?
Amen.
Yes. 20 years ago today, somebody walked into our church. I didn't know if they was going to hang. 20 years ago today, Brother Kyle. This day. And what was the first message?
Who's in your front row?
All right. He still remembers it. Okay.
That's right. Never forget it.
What we want to talk about today is, and I had to get a couple people already this morning, so I know I'm on the right track. A lot of folks don't get it. Okay? Anytime you put I in something, God's out of it.
Teach.
And second thing is, when people come to you, always remember this, God doesn't put us in comfortable situations. You don't grow in a comfortable situation.
That's right.
Right? And the gifts that we are giving to us are not for us. They're for others. Now, but this, remember, deceit we're doing today is deceit. We were supposed to have done it up front, but it was too close to another one. So I wanted to do deceit last. And deceit is a very powerful thing because most people deceit themselves.
That's right.
By putting themselves in positions that they don't belong in or kicking themselves out of position God put them in. Do you understand? The Bible says that Satan is like a roaring lion, seeing who he may
devour.
So he's looking for somebody to what?
Devour.
And so what he uses is these 16 deadly D's are different spirits that he uses to what? To devour us.
That's right.
And so what we want to do is, you need to listen to me very, very careful. Satan's smarter than you. You better know that up front. He's smarter than you, okay? Unless you have the Holy Spirit, he's smarter than you.
That's right.
You have to have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, how many of you all have toolboxes at home?
That's right.
Right. Most of you got toolboxes. If you're not, you got where you keep your knives and shit and all that stuff in it. All right. And so when you have to do something, you reach in the drawer and you get one of those tools.
Right.
That's why we are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us tools to deal with the situations and the circumstances in life that will come up in our lives. Right. There's no place in the Bible where it says everything's going to be all right. It ain't in here.
Right.
We're no different than the people out in the world, okay? Only we saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, but the same sicknesses and troubles and things happen to us that happen to everybody else. The difference is we can handle those things. Does that make sense?
Right.
Because sometimes I've heard people say, and it get on my nerve, they have an airplane wreck or something. Everybody gets killed like there's no Christians on there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, doesn't that sound crazy? But the Bible tells us that there's certain things that happen to all men.
That's
right. Ecclesiastes tells us that, right?
Time and chance.
Time and chance happen to all men. So what we're doing to do over here is we want to grow more than we've ever grown before. And you know how you do that? You got to get out of self. Because you're not smart enough. We're not wise enough, okay? And we'll get out of, there are certain things that we have got, all of us have got out of, we should have stayed in. Some things we stayed in, we should have got out of. All right? But the key to it is you need to learn to what God has put in your life and who he's put in your life and what he wants you to do. You understand what I'm saying? Guess how you do that. Say, what tool will I need, Pastor?
What tool will I need?
Discerning.
Amen.
I came out of a church and they used to talk about, they didn't do too much with me, Sister Gwen will laugh when I say this, because folk walking out, the Lord told me, no, you better be careful with that. You see, because this pastor, John, had the spirit, the discerning, and I can discern to know what it is. And let me tell y'all something. If you say the Lord told you something and he didn't, you're lying on the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And there's a scripture says, all sins are forgiven, but those that lie on the Holy Spirit, it's in there. And so we got to have this discerning spirit. Discerning spirit teaches us some things that every one of us is going to need.
Right.
These are tools. Say discerning.
Discerning.
All right, so we're going to get a lesson today about discerning because we need to get out of self, you see, because sometimes we're too selfish. And the Bible tells us to be selfless.
That's right.
How many of you believe God?
Amen.
How many of you trust God?
Amen.
How many believe that God loves you?
Amen.
And that he's given you gifts?
That's right.
Why would he give you something that's worthless? It's to give to others. Jeez. Now, I'm going to upset some folks in here, and I really want to upset some folks. I got some folks sitting here ain't got nothing to do all day. You ain't got nothing to do all day. You got time to do everything. You're sitting at home doing nothing all day, right? You need to check that. God gives you that time to do something.
That's right.
Right? Some of you retired. You know what that means? That means I can do what God wants me to do. Now I got time to do it.
Teach.
All right? Because we don't believe in lazy over here. So let's say it again. Discernment.
Discernment.
One more time.
Discernment.
All right. That is one of the greatest gifts you can have as a person. And look at me. It'll start with you. You see, too many Christians get in church and they think about what they need to do for somebody else. You ain't there yet. God don't need your help. He's got that all handled. It starts with you. All right, here we go. What is discernment?
First of all, it's the ability to think biblically about all areas of life.
So it gives us the ability to think what?
Biblically.
Biblically about what?
All areas of life.
Right here. This tells me what, when, where, how to do. And so I have to have the discernment spirit to give me the ability to know what God wants me to do in the areas of my
life.
All right?
Discernment also means to discern between good and evil.
And so to discern between good and evil, and some of you all can say amen to know what I'm talking about. Sometimes evil looks good.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all know what I'm talking about? It looked good to us, but it was really evil. You know what I'm saying? Tasted good. Now it felt good, you know what I'm saying?
Keep going.
But it was evil. We can go in that and we really, 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 really go, right? And so, but discernment is going to tell me, and you need to know the difference between good and evil. And I tell you all sometimes, there's a good thing, then there's God things. But discernment is going to tell me what is good and evil, all right?
Possess wisdom and good judgment.
And it's going to give me what?
Wisdom good judgment. And good judgment.
You need good judgment in your life. Let me tell you, some of y'all are looking at me strange. Don't look at me strange because you might be judging me wrong, okay? When you go buy a house, what do you need? Good judgment.
That's right.
You go buy a car, what do you need?
Good judgment.
Right? Ready? When you start dating, what do you need?
Great judgment.
You see what I'm saying? You understand? When you pick a doctor, what do you need?
Good judgment.
If you get in a situation and need a lawyer, what do you need? When you find a church that fits you, what do you need?
Good judgment.
Because he'll take you out of that one. He'll get you one that don't fit you, that upsets you.
That's right.
You see, I'm going to tell y'all something in here, okay? You ready? If you in this church here, God sent you.
That's right.
Because my ministry is for broken folks. My ministry is for people who are trying to get it right. You see, you can't get it right unless you, first of all, know you ain't got it right.
Amen.
Right? You see?
That's right.
So this is why we're coming here. You see? And so he gave you a guy that knows what I'm talking about. Been there, done that. Do you understand? Are you learning something already just from the word discernment? All right? Here we go.
Next, it means learning to think God's thoughts
Whose thoughts?
God's thoughts.
So I got to be thinking God's thoughts. Before I go start saying yes to this, no to that, what would God have me to do?
That's right.
And usually it's going to put you in an uncomfortable situation. You see? You know, why would God send you to help somebody you like?
Teach.
That don't take no strength to do that. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. All right.
Especially practically and spiritually.
Practically and spiritually? Okay.
Having a sense of how things look in God's eyes.
How do things look in God's eyes? And everybody needs to get this one before you. When I look in this congregation, you all are beautiful, beautiful people through God's eyes.
That's right.
If I look through my eyes, I'd say, now you need to have that bow tie on. That's the wrong color. Why'd you come in here looking like that? Are y'all with where I'm coming
right.
from? But when I look at God's, you see, there's some white folks in here. Yeah, there's some other black folks and biracial folks. You see? Whose eyes are that? That's my eyes. What's God's? Sons and daughters are in here.
Right.
You see, sons and daughters in here, and brothers and sisters are in here. That's how we look through God's eyes. When we look through God's eyes, we see what God sees. Isn't that right? All right, here we go. I'm loving this.
And lastly, discernment can describe the process of determining God's desire in a situation for one's life.
Now, wait a minute. God will give you and describe the process. You see, has anybody ever been going through anything? That's called the process.
That's right.
You don't get better, right, unless you go through the process. Isn't that right? There have been some times that my sister Gwen loves her beautiful, wonderful, intelligent, bright husband. But it was probably a process for her to deal with the stuff that wasn't beautiful and wasn't bright and wasn't intelligent. Are you with me?
That's right.
It took a process because, see, I'm telling y'all, right now, and there's more than one in here. There's a bunch of you in here. You're going through something. Don't get in a hurry. The process. Ask some people who have conquered recovery. They still work at it. And I need to see somebody in recovery after church, please. Because we work, it's a process.
Right.
It don't work that way. You know why? I think number 10. Is this my 10th? Oh, I just had my 8th. Man, I'm trying to get this thing over. So I'm just trying to, I think it's 9th. I think she's missed making a mistake, man. Remember, PSA was what? 97. Now it's down to 4 point something. Process. Chemo. The chemo was a process. Some people said, did you get healed? I said, yes. Brother Fred prayed for me. Healing without suffering. I had any suffering at all. But it's the process. But guess why I need the process? Ask me why, Pastor. Why? To show you that some things you're going to do in your life ain't going to be just like that. It's right. Going to be a process.
That's right.
You see? And some of you, one of my members, I called you a member, so you might as well join church, hon. But anyway, one of my members just told me that she got a raise, a job. It's going to be like supervision. All right? Now, you talk about a process.
That's right.
Because you're going to deal with folks.
Right.
And that's going to be a process. Isn't that right? Because first of all, you're going to have some people that's going to try you.
That's right.
Some of them are laughing because they were the people who tried the person who got the position. It's going to be a process, right? So sometimes we have to have the discerning, and God, I'm in the right place. Listen to me very carefully when I say this. I'm in the right place. Okay, but I'm hurting, but I'm in the right place. Yeah, I'm a little upset, but I'm in the right place. I get discouraged, but I'm in the right place because it's a what?
Process.
And at the end of the process, I'm going to have a victory. You understand what I'm saying? All right.
Discernment is identifying the true nature of a thing.
Yes. Now, you got to identify what? The true nature of a thing or something. You look at it, take sure you're getting it right. Be careful. What is the true nature? I'm going to do it this way. What is the true nature of this situation in this circumstance? Not through my eyes, but through God's eyes.
That's right.
You see, some of you probably got kin people that's kind of on that edge. All right? And some of them are for you to help, and some of them for you to let go. All right? Some of them to let go, and some are for you to help. But you got to make sure you know the true nature of that thing. All right? If someone comes to you and asks for something, you better make sure, be careful. Make sure, what is the true nature behind them coming to you? What's behind it? Are you with me? Okay.
Again, identifying the true nature of a thing, such as discerning whether a thing is good or evil.
You got to make sure, I got to discern what is good and what is evil. That's life, folks. Are you with me? And so we know now that we need this discerning spirit because there's a spirit called what?
Deceit.
You see, Satan uses deceit. You all want to feel comfortable? You all been deceited, had deceit, and you've all used it.
That's right.
Come on, let's just relax in here. Let's not get all sanctified Christian on Sunday morning in church. You know who we are. You know why you're in here? Because you were a horrible person at one time in your life, and you decided you want to get better, and you came to church, and you wanted to get saved so you can go to heaven, and you want to get baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you wanted the Holy Spirit to clean up some areas of your life that needed to be cleaned up. So are we all comfortable with each other?
Amen.
Okay, so here we can go then. So what we know is we've been this, but we got to be very careful about this. This thing, social media now is going crazy with this deceit thing. Now, hear what I'm saying. I heard a message this morning. They had a person to come in and talk to the event. What do you call those evangel people down south? Say it again. They had the speaker come in and speak, Isaac. I mean, this brother was talking about Jesus Christ and what they needed to do and how bad this country was. And I'm listening to him, and it was tremendous what the scriptures he was using, and he done a great job, President Trump. Yeah. And I said to myself, dude, if you was like that all the time,
right,
you would be something. No, I'm serious. He made that speech. I was like, who is this? You see? Now, I'm not saying what is right or wrong. I'm just saying I heard that person was nothing like that person.
That's right.
And all these preachers we were speaking to all these preachers, and they were all amen and even doing this thing. That's their business, because you can choose who you want to choose. That's your business. But what I'm saying is you got to be careful, because you can be deceived. You see? People come in here, and you sit there. The first thing you need to pray for is, I want to pray for my pastor, and then I want to pray for my ear. Okay? I got quiet when I said Trump. Everybody was like, yeah. You know, y'all want to help you out? Because we on Trump. We on Trump's side. Do y'all want to know something? They all are lying. They all don't know that. Do you really think they care about you?
No.
Right? When they shut down this country and you don't get paid, and some of y'all looking at me crazy, when they don't get paid, when we don't get paid, do they get paid?
Yes.
You don't get paid, but they don't get paid. That's right. How important you really are, okay? So let's don't get off this. No. You see, we need to, so we vote, when we vote, and everybody should, you need to vote with the spirit of what?
Discernment.
There you go. You upset me because somebody was all wrapped up, tied up. Where am I at?
Deceit.
All right, let's go.
Just so we understand, so the meaning of deceit.
Now, this is the meaning of deceit.
And we've all done it.
And had it done to us.
Good morning.
I know that's right. I'm Pastor Fields. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so we all in the same thing, right? You see, God has blessed us to get out of there, right. But we all done been there. What the kids say, I don't know if they said it when I was a kid, it takes one to know one.
That's right.
All right. Oh, here we go. I'm having a good time up here, Isaac.
Deceit means to conceal, trick, be sneaky, or misrepresent the truth.
Amen. And this is America. And it's everywhere. And you have to have the spirit of discerning to know where. Church, you have to have the spirit of discerning. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yourself, you have to have the spirit of discerning.
That's right.
All right?
Deceit is dishonesty.
Yes.
Giving false impressions.
And giving false impressions. Has anybody ever gave a false impression in here?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Only three of us live. No, But no, y'all good, because I'm having a good time up here. Only three of us done it. The rest of you got caught up in it.
There you go.
So whichever, Denise, I couldn't help it. Yeah. Read that again.
Giving false impressions.
And we've all gave false impressions. You see, many of us have gave false impressions, and many of us have got caught up in somebody else giving us a false impression. That's why we need the spirit of
discerning.
All right.
Lastly, deceit is pretending to be someone else.
And pretending to be somebody else. There used to be a song years ago, "Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender." Mm-hmm. Pretended I'm doing well, but you know. Yeah, y'all remember that.
That's right.
Yeah. How many times have you been the great pretender? Yeah. How many times has the great pretender got us caught up?
Amen.
You see, this is, listen to me very careful, because we come here to learn, to come here to grow. Some of you divorced. Somebody was pretending.
That's right.
Right?
Make it plain.
Some have filed bankruptcy. Somebody was pretending. Isn't that right? Somebody got their heart broken. Somebody was pretending. That's why we need the spirit of
discernment.
You see? Because everything, all that glitters is not
gold.
That's why we need the spirit of pretending. Have you ever told somebody you love them?
Yes, sir.
And you were pretending?
Yes, sir.
Has somebody ever told you that and you found out they were
pretending?
And you fell for it because you didn't have the spirit of
discernment.
That's why it's so important to have the spirit of discerning. We Christian people, have you ever got a job that you shouldn't have took? Thought you were more capable of doing it than you really were?
That's right.
Because you're going to have to deal with folks. You see, and they'll figure out if you're tough or not. Oh, yeah, they'll figure out if you really mean what you say or not.
That's right.
They'll figure out if you're pretending or not, because they're going to try to outlast you. Come, somebody knows what I'm talking about up in here.
Right.
Come on, you see? So you can't go in there pretending. You go in there, if you go in there tough, you better stay tough. Let me help you. I told you she wasn't all that. Coming up in here acting like she gonna run something. Right.
Make it plain.
Right. Yeah, he got his. Yeah, y'all see what happened? Yeah, they took him down. He out of here. It happens on jobs. It happens with people. It happens in the church. You see, that's why we need the spirit of what?
Discernment.
All right, here we go.
David talks about his struggle in Psalm chapter 36, verse 1 through 3. He says, "I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes."
And there are people like that. There are wicked people out there. And they're everywhere. And you better know who they are. Okay?
He goes on to say, "In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin."
They have a reprobated mind. There's a scripture says, you can look it up, a reprobated mind. They think they're doing right when they're doing wrong. Amen. And God says, look it up when you get home. God says, "And I shall turn them over to a reprobated mind." Look it up when you get home, all right?
In verse 3, he said, "The words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful. They fail to act wisely or do good."
They're what kind of people? And they're what?
Deceitful.
And they're deceitful. And they're all around us. They're everywhere. And you got to watch out for them. But you can't see them with your eyes. You have to have the spirit of
discernment.
All right.
Now turn to Romans. I'm going to read chapter 16, verse 18, from the King James, the Amplified, and the Message. King James says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly."
Now, there are people who are not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're doing it for their own what?
Their own good.
You know where that happens at? Say where, Pastor? The church.
That's right.
It can happen in the church. You think everybody in the pulpit cares about the people sitting out there in them pews? That's why you better have the spirit of
discernment.
All right?
He goes on to say, "And by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple."
You know where you can find that at? Congress.
That's right.
Politics. The Bible's warning us against everything. It's right here. It's all telling us what. You see? It ain't their fault. It's your fault that you didn't pay attention to what the lesson you were getting and get this lesson and say, "Okay, Pastor's right. It's on me. All I got to do is ask for the spirit of discerning." Evil ain't going nowhere.
That's right.
You see, this stuff's been going on with Cain and Abel.
That's right.
All right? Amen.
Amplified says it this way. For such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites and base desires.
And you better learn that big time. You gotta learn that quick. You gotta learn that when people want to befriend you. You gotta learn that on your coworkers. You better learn that with people. You better learn this one big time. Because the people close to you can take you down. The people far away can't.
That's right.
So you got to be careful who you put close to you. All right?
He says, by smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting, the innocent, and the naive.
And the what?
Naive.
And here, I'm going to use the scriptures. I would not have you ignorant, my brothers and sisters.
That's right.
We ain't going to be ignorant over here at Christ Temple North. We're not going to be naive over here at Christ Temple North. We don't trust everybody. We know it's not a goody-goody-goody world. You see?
That's right.
This is why I'm doing this message. You see? We got people in here, young folks in here. They got homes to buy, schools to go to. What college are you going to take your kid to? We got men in here, got daughters. Yeah. Who you going to let date, not date? Yeah. This thing ain't, this is the whole thing. You're going to sit down and talk to your sons and your daughters about what? Deceit. And who's deceitful? And you're going to pray for your sons and your daughters. Come on, say amen, Pastor.
Amen.
All right? Sons and daughters, about God give them the spirit of what?
Discernment.
They're going to schools, and that's one of the worst places you can go. They're going to, they started middle school now. Middle school and high school and colleges. They need the spirit of discernment, who to befriend, who not to befriend. And some of you are going to be old enough to date. Who to date, who not to date. Whose responsibility to teach them? It's your responsibility to teach them as I'm teaching you and praying for your children, laying hands on your children and praying for your children that the Holy Spirit give them the spirit of discerning to make sure that they make the right decisions in their life. All right? All right, here we go.
The message talks about deceitful people and says, they have no intention of living for our Master Christ.
And a lot of people call themselves Christians that are church folks. See, you can go to church, but a Christian, they lying because a Christian lives Christ-like.
That's right.
But sometimes we see, I've heard people say in my ministry, say, I think he's a nice guy. He goes to church, and we went out to dinner, and he prayed over the food. Mm. No, I've heard that many times. Haven't we, Sister Gwen? We've heard that many times, right? Didn't have discerning. Okay? Nice guys can be nice until that abusive thing comes back around again.
That's right.
Or vice versa. Okay?
Scripture goes on to say they're only in this for what they can get out of
it. You better learn it and you better get that. If you don't get it, there's some people, let me tell y'all something. Everybody in here, there's some people around you that wants what they can get from you.
That's
you
right.
Better learn that, period.
That's right.
You see? And it hurts because we think that my sister or my brother or my son. No. There are some people around you that wants to get what they can get from you.
That's right.
You see? And that's how it works. And it hurts when you get a message like this.
That's right.
But when I get to heaven, God will give me for a lot of things, but he won't give me for telling y'all the truth.
Amen.
Okay? And ain't nobody mad in here but two people. The devil and people got the devil in them.
Amen.
All right. Good.
Again, they're only in this for what they can get out of it and aren't above using pious sweet talk to dupe unsuspecting innocents.
They're sweet. Well, you're my mother. I'm part of this family. You see? If y'all seen it. But you know how we supposed to. Now, can I say it? You see, and a lot of times, especially if you're African-American, you can get a job in a high position, and folks will use that against you. Black folks will use that, say it. They'll use that against you. Well, you know how it's hard for us. You ought to be able, no. I'm here. What'd you sign up for? See, my color don't change what you signed up for. And everybody in here, y'all know it. Somebody probably even used it. We don't do that in this church. Thank you. We don't do that in this church.
That's right.
We're God's people in this church. Amen. We walk and talk in honesty, and we discern, and we won't accept nothing but honesty.
That's right.
Amen. You see, we can love. We're going to love you. Liar, we love you, but we don't approve of you.
That's right.
You see, that's all the Bible told us to do. You see? Some folks dancing with the devil because they didn't get this scripture right.
That's right.
We don't do that. We love, but we're not weak. If we don't give what God gives us to Satan's people. All right? Am I doing all right? Where am I at?
Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Sorry, church. The Bible's going to pick on women for a minute.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. And Pastor, listen to me. I've done this for a reason. I wanted this script for a reason. Okay? And don't get mad at me. Get mad at the author. Don't get mad at me. Because we ain't going to have none of that up in here. Go ahead. Please.
Again, don't get mad at me. I'm just reading it. It's 2 Timothy 3 and 6. Says they are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women.
There are guys out here that are looking for gullible women. That's scripture. That ain't me talking. And see, say amen.
Amen.
But then repeat after me, Pastor.
Pastor.
You, the women. Pastor.
Pastor.
You don't have to worry about me.
Because
I'm not going to be gullible. I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm praying for the discerning spirit. And that fool got to go somewhere else. All right, here we go. Keep reading.
He goes on to say, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires.
Loaded down. This is the Bible. And you ought to be glad you're in here today. Because it'll never happen to you again. Because this happened to some of you, but it'll never happen to you again because you are not that person anymore. When you walk out of this church, you're going to walk out of this church with the spirit of discerning, and hey, never again will I be that gullible woman. Right? And men, don't be putting them in that position.
That's right.
Right? Say amen.
Amen.
I'll go back up here now.
The message says it this way. These are the kind of people who smooth talk themselves into the homes into the homes of unstable and needy women.
And what kind of women?
Needy.
Satan looks for needy people, and he sends men after needy women. But not in this church, right?
That's right.
We do that. We passed it. Y'all passed that?
Yes.
You see, we're not needy. Ask me why. Repeat after me, ladies. The Bible says, God said,
I'll supply you
of your every need.
Every need.
Right. You know, if you need a lover, he said, I'll be your lover.
That's right.
You need company, he said, I'll be your company.
Amen.
You need a protector, he says, I'll be your protector.
Yes.
You need a provider, he says, I'll be your provider.
Yes.
No needy women up in here.
Teach that.
Come on here.
Say that.
All right. Scripture. Scripture. So don't nobody get mad at me, guys. Don't get upset, because that's the scripture.
And he closes with, to take advantage of them.
To take advantage of them. If you got the spirit of discerning and the power of Christ in your life, nobody can take advantage of you.
That's right.
Nobody can take advantage of you. Okay. I don't know where I'm at.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6.
Okay.
Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient.
Let me tell you something. Do you know why the bad thing you was in is a good thing? The good thing, you got a good message. The bad thing, now you're held accountable.
That's right.
So you can't be a disobedient, because I didn't write Timothy. You're held accountable. You're held accountable to this. You see? And don't worry about hurting somebody's feelings.
That's right.
All right? The book is the book. All right.
1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says, "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech."
That's what we're going to do. Men, that's us. That's us, men. Read that again. That's us. We're going to change the way we talk. Change the way we address.
That's right.
Each other, our women, and each other. This is a life lesson. I don't think I need the rest of this anyway. I'm about out of time up here. Okay, go ahead.
You want to read that one again?
No, we'll go up here. We'll go 1 Peter 1 and 2 and 3. The folks said, hey, keep going. I don't know why. If I was getting beat up like this, I'd be saying.
Hey, well, here's what we're supposed to do next.
Here we go.
Abandon every form of evil, deceit, hypocrisy, feelings of jealousy, and slander.
We get rid of none of that in Christ Temple North and get it out of your life. You got to abandon it. Get away from all that. All right?
In the same way that nursing infants cry for milk, you must intensely crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word.
We going on God's word. What, are you beautiful?
Amen.
Are you created in God's image?
Amen.
Does the Bible say man was created in God's image? What does it say about women?
Same thing.
If you read on down, it says, and women, and it says, and female were created in God's image too.
That's right.
But we preach from the pulpit. We don't want to go down that far because we don't make y'all think y'all equal to us. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind because, you know, I'm good. But it says that. Whose image are you created in?
God's.
So you God-like?
Yes. Amen.
Then start acting like it. Okay?
He goes on to say, for this milk will cause you to grow into maturity.
So this lesson will cause you to grow in maturity. Maturity. That's what this lesson's about. Can I say it? Grow up. Get in this word and grow up.
That's right.
We don't cry over here.
That's right.
We get in here and grow up. Okay?
Fully nourished and strong for life.
And strong for how long?
Life.
All right, keep going.
Especially now that you have had a taste of the goodness of Yahweh and have experienced his kindness.
All right, go ahead to the next one.
1 Peter 2, 21 and 22 says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps.
So whose steps you following in?
Christ.
Whose steps?
Christ.
Whose steps?
Christ.
Are you Christ-like?
Yes.
Repeat after me. I walk as Christ.
I walk as Christ.
I talk as Christ.
I talk as Christ.
I think as Christ.
I think of Christ.
I have the Spirit of Christ within me.
I have the Spirit of Christ within
Therefore,
me.
Therefore, I live in victory.
In victory.
That's how you deal with it. Keep going. I'm about to get the Holy Ghost up here. I felt the chill come. I might want to shout. Come here.
He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth.
All right, here we go. Last one.
Psalm 32 and 2 says, how happy is the person whose sin the Eternal will not take into account.
That's right.
How happy are those who no longer lie to themselves
so quit
or others.
We ain't going to lie to ourselves.
Or others.
Or others. Anytime the word I comes out your line. We don't lie to ourselves, and we don't lie to others. You see?
That's right.
Oh, save me, O Lord, from a lying lips and from deceitful tongues. That ought to be our prayer.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Is everybody good?
Amen.
Is that a good lesson?